Hi, this is Bobby Lee from Mad TV. Yes. Yo, what's up? This is Pauly Shore, San Diego. You're listening to my sister's radio station, Sandy Seashore. Check it out.
Thank you for joining us worldwide. It's time to fix what ails you. And everyone knows that laughter is the best medicine. So we've gone right to the first family of comedy, to the lady who wrote the book, Sandy Seashore. Yes, that's her real name. Only a comedian would name their kid Sandy Seashore. Well, what do you expect when your family owns the world-famous comedy store? If laughter's the best medicine, well, then Sandy, she's Dr. Feelgood. Hey, thanks for being here. Tonight, Sandy will check in with the world-famous comedy store to find out who's on stage and hear the inside story of what's really happening backstage and on the Hollywood Strip. She'll help you laugh and learn with some real news. And of course, hide the dog biscuits, because Sonny Shore is on the loose. He's smarter than Lassie and looks better than Ren 1010. And this is one dog that knows his comedy. And now, here's the seashore that's not in your geography book. A lady with so much talent, she's worldwide at sandyshore.com. Welcome to Happy Hour with Sandy Seashore.
Back. Hey, how you doing, everybody? It's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour. I'm coming to you live from San Diego, California. Tonight we have a great show, of course. Tommy from the Comedy Store with the latest local scoop. And back by popular consensus, Stuart Swerdlow. We're taking call-ins with Stuart. Okay, so let's just get the show on. Let's just get it going here. Let's say hi to Tommy.
Hi, Sandy. How you doing?
Hey, Tommy. Well, I'm doing really good. It's really hard to get warmed up for the new year. My brain is still on vacation.
That's right.
I think a lot of people are still.
Sure.
But we're getting ready to, you know, get the year going here.
Mm-hmm.
You sound all chipper tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm feeling good. Had a nice meeting with your mom today, and she's coming in to look at some showcases tomorrow night, and you know, we got some shows maybe coming up here soon. I'm getting ready to go meet with HBO about doing maybe some shows here. And
I told you
conceptually some other stuff. I think HBO would be good people to get behind the idea, such as a movie around the strike and some mm-hmm. other things like that.
People don't know what the strike is. By the way, there's two comedy stores. One's in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard, and one's in La Jolla, where I am.
That's
and
right.
In the 70s, there was a strike.
The late 70s. Right.
Yeah, that was... comedians wanted to get paid. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
And that sort of changed. It sort of, people never, a lot of people never healed from that.
No, you're including your mom.
Yeah. Can you tell people what the strike was?
Well, the strike, from the way it's come to me, is, you know, here you have these comics that are all working out, and here in the 70s, always start right at the beginning in a sense, Sandy, right? So
yes.
Your mom and dad opened the comedy store in 72. Your mom takes over running the whole place in 74. She's going along, and she finds these people that just want to be comics. It just so happens she finds a whole group of people that are all becoming really good at once. Freddie Prinze, David Letterman, Jay Leno, okay? They're all popping at the same time. Jeff Altman, and then among others. And your mom opens up the big main room after she has the original room. The original room, now they all just worked out, and, you know, everyone... No one got paid, but everyone had freedom, and industry was in there every night, so people were getting their movie deals out of it, so no one was really complaining, right? And then, but your mom opens up the main room in 78 and starts paying the comics in there the way we still do now, part of the door proceeds. Well, the people that work out in the OR go, that's not fair that they get paid over there in the main room and we don't get paid over here. And thus, these people all gets in, and it goes from a conversation into a whole thing where the comics are picketing in front of the comedy store with signs on strike demanding to get paid for all sets that are in here. Does that sound
okay.
like it?
You know what? It now makes sense, because The Comedy Store has three rooms on Sunset, so people in the original room are working out material. It's a workshop, so technically, in my mom's mind, they shouldn't be getting paid for that.
Well, they just weren't doing it 2+2 at the time, and it's not always this way now because of the improv and the Laugh Factory, but those places didn't exist. Industry was crawling in here looking for talent. Mm-hmm. And once that word came out, it feeds upon itself. I've seen how comics are that work out on Sundays and Mondays. They don't care about getting paid, right?
Right.
They want to work out. They want to be seen. They want to get on those stages. So the OR had that vibe until your mom took over the main room and actually paid comics from that room. But their original intention was then to bring guys like Jackie Mason and Shecky Green and stuff, but they didn't want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't want to do it. I mean, they were like, because Mitzi couldn't guarantee them Vegas-type money.
And then there was, like, who's crossing the picket line. That was a big deal, too.
Yeah, who's going to cross the picket line and perform? And that actually always left some hard feelings with your mom and David Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, between
the
two.
Did David cross the picket line? No.
No, David, this is what Mitzi did. Your mom basically recommended David to Johnny Carson to sub for him. David went and did it and had a great set, came back after he did the thing on The Tonight Show and got in the picket line and picketed her right in front of her face.
Oh, okay.
And then as the story goes, here we are on a radio station telling it, but it's still, it's one day it'll be seen, hopefully. As the story goes, Mitzi called David Letterman at home and goes, David, how could you do this to me after everything I've done? Because David was going to leave. You know all that. David Letterman was going to leave. Your mom talked him out of it, okay?
I remember.
So she kept him here. You know, she really was like, no, you're the good, you know?
And Jay Leno was really, really behind the strike.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. It never healed either.
Oh, no. You know, your mom and Jay Leno saw each other at the Palm on
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
The first time he's seen her, what, 10 years?
A long time.
Or longer?
Mm-hmm.
And you said that he just stared at her.
Yeah, he just kept looking at her. Because he's looking at her, you know? No matter what he's done. I don't know. I mean, you know, everyone has their feelings about Mitzi, but she's a tree with many branches. She touched many lives.
Yes, yes.
You know, so.
She made a lot of careers.
Yeah, she did, you know.
And she's still doing it.
She's still doing it. She's just, as you know, the thing about her at the core of it is, in the middle of all this great insight, she's a difficult person.
Mm-hmm. I know, she's my mother.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
She's difficult. You know,
yeah,
but
she changes her mind a lot.
Yeah, she sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she's like, I don't know why, this is what she loves to do to me. I don't know why Paulie is the way he is. I go, because he's your kid. What do you mean? I go, well, you're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You want to control everything and you change your mind all the time?
Right? It's about Paulie moving his offices back into the Comedy Store.
He's getting ready to.
Oh, he's doing it, huh?
He's going to. This time, though, they're going to take me in my itty-bitty corner office and move me out on the side, and Paulie's going to take over the whole top. He's going to take over the upper offices, something your mother and Peter have never allowed him to do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he will have his own floor.
He did before.
No, our talent office was still up there. Your mom was like, yeah, Paulie can have his offices up there, but you keep the talent office up there, too.
I want an office now, too, but I'm never there.
Yeah?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a little radio station coming out of there.
There is a neat show going to La Jolla this weekend.
Really? Okay.
Yep, it's a little bit different. It's called Frasier Smith's Young Comedy All-Stars of Tomorrow.
Really?
And Frasier Smith, who's from Satellite Radio, has been with the store since 78, hosts our potluck here on Mondays.
Okay.
He goes down and hosts the show and brings up a cavalcade of young talent, pretty much all people under 30.
Oh, okay?
And we got this week, we have... So Frasier opens up. We have actually Eleanor's coming down. Eleanor Kerrigan was a waitress for your mom for years and years, but she's been working at comedy, and she's getting really good.
She's actually Andrew Clay's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, she is.
Sorta.
But she's taken in, yeah, sorta. So she's taken in interest, and she's been working at it. Your mom's been working her in the belly room. She's doing it late. Then she's just doing 10 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another guy going down named Mac Lindsay, who is very controversial, might I say.
Okay,
he's been opening on the Warp Tour. He opens for rock bands. He has a mohawk. He has tattoos on him and stuff. But he's totally started in here 5 years ago. And he is one of the comics and some people's favorites because he's riveting. His opinions are very modern, but he's controversial and dangerous, too, I might tell you. But fun. But fun. But not dangerous to the point where he couldn't be there, but he's only going to be on like 10 minutes. And then Nick Youssef comes in, which is, he's only 25 now, but your mom's been developing him for 7 years. He started when he was 18. And he is really good.
Why is that guy dangerous?
Who, Mac?
The one you said that's dangerous.
Because he talks about the truth.
Okay, so he says what he's thinking.
He says what he's thinking, and he says what's true about what's going on in the world with people.
Oh. You know, I might go. So how many people are on this show?
It's going to be a little bit more, but they do short sets, okay? So Eleanor does 10, then Mac does 10, and then Nick Youssef does, like, probably about 20, and then the headliner is Steve Renazzisi.
Oh, okay.
And he's great.
Where are they all staying, by the way? We have this condo that all the comedians stay in. It's right on the ocean.
Yeah.
Where are they all going to stay in the same condo?
Steve Renazzisi, the headliner, is kind of like a, you know, he's a movie star now. He's in a movie with Eddie Murphy, had his own television series out, so he's got money, so he's staying in a hotel.
Smart.
And then the rest of them are all just going to stay there. Mac, the one that's dangerous, he'll sleep on the couch. You know?
Maybe I'll go to the show.
I think you should, because I think you'll find it interesting. What I think you'll be interested in seeing is Mac, Eleanor, and you've known Eleanor for years.
Right, right.
And Mac, Eleanor, and Nick, and then Steve, you know? Now, Eleanor, I think, is a little over 30, but Nick's only 25. Steve just turned 30. Mac Lindsay is about 27.
Age? Well, you know, by the way, I had somebody wanted to enroll his 13-year-old son there and wants to do comedy as a career.
Yeah. They're feeling that way now, some of these young guys. We let them, you know, we let them work out in here within the parameters of waiting on the porch until the set of their time for their set, and then they have to go back out because they can do it that way.
By the way, yeah, if you're under 21, you can still do a set at the comedy store.
Yes, you can. It's protected within a performance clause here in California where performers can smoke cigarettes on stage.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that? It's protected because it's within a performance clause.
Okay, so then anybody can go do comedy, so there's no age limit.
No, there isn't. And even Fraser Smith, who's hosting, is what? He's in his 50s, you know?
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Fraser's been with the store since 78.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mitzi's like, he used to have a pizza face. But he's known everybody, and he really knows the story of Westwood.
Oh, yeah, we had a comedy store in Westwood near UCLA.
That is,
wow, that's back in the way days.
Yeah, but that's referred to as the magic place in the sense that there was complete freedom there because your mother rarely went there.
I remember Ringo Starr and Steve Martin and Robin, and they used to hang out in that store.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sam Kennison was the doorman, and he was the chef, and he would flip burgers, and Polly would flip burgers.
Yep.
Back then. Yep. That's too bad. That was a little golden piece.
It was. You know, they just wouldn't renew the lease. They didn't lose it because we lost it. We lost it because they decided they did not want to renew the lease.
I wonder why.
I don't know, but they ended it. And when you've talked to him, I've met Robin Williams, and I've talked to him. And I told him, I was standing right near me, but his head facing the other way in a conversation talking to young comics. And he goes, the store has a good feeling in it. He goes, I don't know how to describe it, so I'm just going to go with my feelings. And I said, you know what we're shooting for here, Robin? We're shooting to try to get the comedy store here to emulate Westwood. He turned his head around and looked at me, and he goes, those are some heavy words, brother. Okay, and he goes, I love this place. He goes, but that place was magic. And you know why? And I said, I'll say why, because she never went there. He goes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because since, you know, they love Mitzi, but she, remember her, you got to wear a yellow coat.
No, I don't remember.
Put a hat on your head. No, she still gave directions to people. And they had no directions there.
I remember I used to waitress in Westwood, and that it was wild over there.
Wild.
Drew Barrymore's mother was a waitress there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I heard Mitzi said it was an insane asylum run by the inmates.
Aha, it's true.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I remember that room.
Yeah.
I had many parties in that room.
Yeah.
Yep.
So isn't that fun?
Wow, we just went down the
We went into talking about the comedy store today. I thought I heard you making a comment right before we came on air that, you know, you don't always talk about things comedic, but the truth of the matter is because of the fiber of where you come from, there is a slight humorous way that we're looking at everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the show is called Happy Hour, and, you know, I should showcase comedians, but since I'm working all the time in comedy, it's fun for me to be able to step away from that for a little while.
No, I like your guests. Your show's cool. And I'm sure any of the viewers that are tuning back in agree with me, right?
Yeah, that's why they're tuning back in.
Oh, because it's interesting. We don't want to listen to comedians and all their opinions. I want to hear what you have to say, Sandy.
Well, I'm a listener.
You're a listener, but your comments are cool. And yeah, I like the guests you bring on, including this guy named Tommy. Hey! Just kidding with you.
No.
All right, do I need to let you go? I'm going to get ready to open up the store for another weekend.
Yeah, go to work. We're coming back with Stuart Wardlow. He's a reoccurring guest.
Great.
I'm having so much fun with Stuart on the air that
well, great.
I keep bringing him back.
All right.
It's too interesting. Okay, thanks, Tommy. We'll talk next week.
Okay, take care, Sandy.
I'm going to check out the show this weekend.
Good, do that. Tell me what you think of Mac Lindsay, okay?
All right. Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, bye-bye. So we'll be right back with Stuart Swerdlow. So stay tuned. Happy Hour with Sandy C. Shore.
You're listening to Happy Hour. No, not that kind of happy hour. The lighten up and smile kind of happy hour. More with Sandy and Sunny Shore in a minute. People visit websites with a goal in mind. To learn more. To buy a product or service. To be convinced or reassured about something. To register for information. Or for any number of other reasons. By understanding your customers' goals and motivations, we can create an intuitive experience to match. In an ever-changing online environment, new trends, technologies, and expectations demand that your website be interactive and constantly updated. Customers want to see new information, news, reviews, product and services, success stories, blog entries, press releases, pictures, and so much more. To keep up with the rapid pace of technological change and customer expectations, Creative Momentum offers a full suite of web tools and ideas to enhance your online image. Visit our website at creativemomentum.net for more information on all affordable services we offer. That's creativemomentum.net. Welcome back to Happy Hour with Sandy and Sunny Shore. If you want to find out more about comedy, visit sandyshore.com. And now, here's the lady that wrote the book on comedy, Secrets to Stand-Up Success, best-selling author and comedy coach, Sandy C. Shore. Oh, yeah, and Sunny.
We're back. Thank you for joining us. It's Sandy Shore. Once again, you're listening to Happy Hour. There might have been a little delay. Seth and I were talking about shoes. Sorry about that. Hi, Stuart.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. So the shoes are more important than me?
I found some great rain boots for his wife.
Ah.
And we were talking about the rain boots really briefly. And you can find some great deals on the Internet these days. It's just, you know, the shipping gets you,
I know, I never leave home, I just shop online.
Do you?
Yeah.
I love shopping online.
I know, you could shop naked.
You and you're naked, and I'm in my pajamas. So
well,
you shop naked, I'm in my pajamas. And, you know, Stuart, I just love having you on the show. As everybody notices, Stuart's the reoccurring guest.
Yes, yeah, it's
fun
like,
and you just have so much information that, and you know, people are interested in hearing your opinions. That, and I work with comedians all week, so
that's like being in politics.
That's comedy and politics. You think go together?
Well, they're all, you know, telling jokes to the public.
The politicians all lie.
Yeah,
comedians tell the truth.
True. That's very true.
So people who are just tuning in that don't know Stuart Swerdlow, Stuart's an unusual human being, and I always make you tell your own intro, because you do it best, instead of reading a whole thing. Well, Stuart is a very controversial person, and I happen to think he's a great guy, and he has his, you know, own truth that ring true or not to you guys listening. But you can't help but wonder on many of his topics that he talks about. Like, you have an interesting background. You were, like, genetically engineered you got part alien in you or something, and then your mom didn't have a birth canal.
Right.
And your relatives were from the Soviet Union, you said?
My great uncle was the first president of the Soviet Union.
Now, what does that mean? The first president now, the Soviet Union had dictators before?
Well, they had the Tsar, the royal family of Russia.
That were all murdered.
Yes, by my uncle, I might add.
Your uncle killed them?
He ordered their execution, yes.
That must not make you very popular.
Not among certain Romanov circles, no.
So, because there was like a movie on that.
Yeah, but, you know, they never invite me to dinner.
Huh.
It's very insulting.
Really?
Yeah, you know, my uncle does one thing wrong, and I'll explain forever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty astounding that you have that connection.
And then
the government's been watching you ever since.
Yes, well, my grandmother was a Soviet spy in World War II.
Now, what does that mean, Soviet? She spied for the Soviets?
Yes, exactly. After the war, she died in the 1950s, and when she passed away, my father went through her things and found her old Soviet passport. He found compromising photos of her with German soldiers that, I might add, would be on porno sites right now.
Really?
Yeah, really. So he burned a lot of it. He was so embarrassed that he burned a lot of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I happen to have salvaged a couple of the photographs, so I have that here.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to share those. That's where you got your quirky sense of humor, from that side of the family.
Yes, that and vodka.
Vodka.
Yeah.
Vodka. Now, where do you fit into the family these days?
Well, I don't. See, that's the thing, is that I've been very different than all of them, always. They always thought I was a little odd.
Now, how did you wind up getting genetically engineered? Like, why did they pick you? This is where confusing where you came into the picture.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that when my mother went into labor with me, and she went to the hospital, they examined her and they said, there's no way you could even be pregnant because you have no way you could become pregnant. Everything is closed up. She had no canal. And so they brought her to a wing of the hospital that was not even open yet. In other words, it was under construction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they brought her. And then they told her there just happened to be a surgeon from Texas who was in the area who knew how to handle that kind of situation. And so he actually performed surgery on her so that I could be born.
Now, where does your genetic DNA come? I mean, you were genetically engineered or something? Or how did?
See, it's very odd because we always believed that we were Russian, see? And, of course,
Russian-Jewish?
Yes, and a few other things mixed in there.
Okay.
My mother's side is Austrian-Romanian. But recently, well, a few years ago, this genealogist in New York sent me this whole dossier on my family, and he said, no, you're not Russian at all, but descended from Vikings who invaded Russia in the 900s.
Ooh, I got the chills. That makes sense.
Yeah, and that they all settled in this city called Novgorod, which is to this very day a city of Russians of Viking ancestry. And that's where my family came from.
I love this. Now, how did you get to speak, 10 languages?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When I worked at the NSA, I was trained in very many languages so that I could be sent to various places in the world and fit right in without being, different.
So then you can make a movie out of your life. Because no one will believe it. It's like science fiction.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It's all true.
What a great... Someone out there needs to write the story. It's too fascinating. So all the knowledge that you have is just... It's intense.
You want to hear
something? I'm still hanging on your words from last week where you said there is no global warming.
No, in fact, hey, you know what happened today? It snowed in Saudi Arabia. Hello.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and of course we know it snowed in Baghdad a few days ago. Like, that's global warming?
Right.
I don't think so.
Well, they have it on, look at National Geographic, and they're showing all these glaciers melting, and You're giving me all this information, and I'm like, well, why is National Geographic showing pictures?
Because National Geographic is up the wazoo of the Illuminati and is headquartered in Washington. And so they're going to promote whatever they're told to promote.
Oh, this is, you know, TV's so pathetic. I don't trust anything I see on TV, and it's really boring.
Well, again, you know, it's funny because I, as you know, worked in L.A. for a number of years, and some of the producers told me that they were told what to write and produce by government people.
Really?
Yes, and one of them actually came to my, came to have lunch with me and my manager and told us that he was going to make, he felt he was the one chosen to make the movie of my life.
Is it happening?
No. You know, then like, and then Warner Brothers called me in. I was like in Warner Brothers studios, and they were going to sign the contract and everything. And all of a sudden, they pulled out.
Ooh, I got the chills.
Yeah. And
well, you
then,
know what? With the internet independent films going on, it's probably going to have to be made through the unconventional means.
Well, it has to be an indie film, you know.
Yep, that's the only way. Obviously, if you just said. If that's what happened, then that's what, you know, you have to take a new direction.
Well, then I have to tell you, one of the last thing that happened in L.A. there is that one of the daughter of a very famous comedic family, actually, I won't name names, but the daughter came to the house and had many, many drinks, I might say, and told me point blank, actually pointed at me and yelled, and she said, I'm here to tell you that your story and the Montauk Project story will never be made, ever, ever, ever. And she was, like, yelling at me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And did you go, why, pray tell?
Well, I kind of knew why, you know. But I was like, does your mother know you're here? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you know, that's so true about a lot of things in this world. Everybody's just, you know, kept quiet and shut down. And,
yeah.
But because the Internet, though, word gets out.
Yes, but, you know, even on the Internet, you have to be careful about some of the information because a lot of it is not true either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just got, you know, people send me things from all over. I get about 400 emails every single day in addition to the Q&As that I answer on my website.
Really?
So, I mean, you can't imagine what I'm being sent. And people want me to look at YouTube videos and this website. That I just don't have time to look at all that stuff.
Why do they want you to look?
Because they want my opinion of it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then people say, oh, you know, you're on this site. If you Google me.
It's true about the emails and all that. If you know, if people, you know I don't answer all my emails as quickly because you'd spend all day and night answering emails and doing other people's agenda.
Right.
But you don't. There's not enough time in the day for that.
But the other thing is, there's no one really helping these people. So I feel an obligation, like if someone writes to me or asks me for something, I do answer. I answer all of them who are decent. I mean, some of them just write me trash, and I just delete those. But others, I feel an obligation. I need
What's a trash? My uncle knows your uncle.
Oh, well, like, for example, today some woman wrote me from Britain and said, you were in Britain in 19 such and such, and you gave me to the military, and I know that you were getting people and giving them to the government to make them slaves. Like, who are you?
Where's that coming from?
Yeah.
God.
You know, like little loonies out there sometimes.
Isn't that interesting? There are so many loonies out there.
I know.
We love the loonies.
Yeah. Well, actually, that one was from my mother. But besides that, I get a lot of bad ones. And then, of course, I do get trashed a lot.
We're not going to go there. Because I'm not interested. I could care less.
Good.
I mean, it does hurt that nobody likes to not be, you know, believed or something like that. But,
You know, they don't have to listen to me. Go someplace else.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's go. We are taking call-ins, by the way. We didn't set up specifically what type of call-ins. If you want to call and have your dream analyzed, you can go ahead and call in if you want. Right, Stuart?
Sure, I'll do anything.
Do you do, like, psychic readings?
I do, but, you know, I like to get a full birth name and date, and a lot of times people don't like to do that on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, if they don't know who you are, then, I mean, we wouldn't know who you are. Get
no,
the birth date.
True, true.
What, people, Polly's turning 40 February 1st.
Yeah, that's great.
That's you know, and he's like, he does this whole piece on stage about, hey, we're all getting older.
Well, that's the truth.
And, yeah, the climate out there. I'm telling you, I went to the market. Everything's 20% higher. I paid $12 for a small bag of grapes.
That's crazy.
Is it less out there?
Oh, gosh. We have, like, you know, for a dollar, you get everything you want.
Really?
So, yeah, this area is the largest non-citrus agricultural area of the country. Everything grows here.
Huh.
You should come and shop.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You know, I go to the most expensive stores probably.
Well,
I'm
excuse
guessing.
Me.
Like Whole Foods or something.
Well, we only shop organic food.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. Yeah, but I noticed, you know, my shopping, I noticed all the products were about 20% higher than
but
normal.
But you see, Sandy, that's a scam. Because they're telling people that all these global weather issues, and then they can raise the price of gasoline and food and everything else, and then rape
the
public.
Why are they doing that?
Because then they get more money. You know, that's what's going on, and it's just not true. You know, if you look at the weather cycle of this planet over thousands and thousands of years, there have been cold periods, warm periods. It goes up and down and up and down. It has nothing to do with, you know, artificial warming by factories emitting gases or humans doing things, because sometimes the planet was warm before there were humans on it. You know, and there were cycles, for example, during the Viking times, where it was warmer naturally, and that's why they were able to go to Iceland and Greenland and other places which were frozen afterwards.
Well, people are, you know, this makes me angry, and I'm sure it makes everybody else angry. I mean, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. We're a product of it. We can just move to some other place where it's less expensive, but then people can't make a living because people have to live near cities usually to make a living.
And that's another point, because another thing they're doing is forcing people, they want people to move into city areas. They don't want people living in rural areas or buying land and growing their own foods or being away from the network of control. They want everybody where they can easily manipulate them.
Well, I'm single, so, I mean, me living out in the middle of nowhere is not an option. I mean, so I'm kind of stuck, and there's a lot of single people that they don't really have an option.
Yeah. Oh, I have a few guys for you, Sandy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk privately.
Okay. They have to like dog shows.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Oh, no. Me and my dog, we do dog shows.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah.
We have two big shows coming up next month. Well, my dog's only a year and a half, and he's been in 8 shows. And by the way, that Best in Show movie, they replay it a lot, and it is so funny to me because it's, like, so true. And did you know there was dog makeup?
Oh, probably.
Makeup on your dogs?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There's, like, mousse for the hair. There's coloring for the face.
I think they did that to me on TNN once. I'm pretty sure of it.
I wonder how my dog... Well, anyway, he's won 8 first in classes out of 8 shows. And he got certified at his first leg of herding. So we're just having fun.
Ah.
It's a fun thing to do.
Well, I'm teaching my Siberian Husky to say I love you.
Really?
No, because I saw a video of that on MySpace with a Husky saying that.
I've seen that.
I want her to do it. I have a Malamute that talks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you have to tape it and play it for us.
Oh, well, he sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Dogs are great. I think people should just leave their dogs alone and let them be. You hear all about this training and get off the couch and, you know, and don't do this. I'm just letting my dog be himself.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's like, I think animals should be left to their own devices more than we allow it so that they, you know, they can just be themselves.
Yeah, but...
you also talked last time about the big earthquake under San Diego, and now I've been really nervous a little bit about thinking about it.
Well, you should be a little nervous, Sandy.
What's going on with that?
Today I was shocked myself today, because when I checked the USGS maps, there was a quake in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, it was like in western Arizona, just south of the Grand Canyon. So
now,
I thought, that's odd.
We have earthquakes every day, but San Diego hardly ever has any.
But if you look on the maps, you'll see that there are these little microquakes going on around there.
A zillion of them.
Yeah. And a lot of them are actually centered lately just in Baja, northern part of Baja.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's just south of San Diego. But then east of you near the Salton Sea,
yes,
there's tons of them every day.
That's near Palm Springs.
Yeah,
now, I used to live in Palm Springs, and I didn't have a good feeling there at all.
No, because, you know, they have what they're calling microquakes, which, you know, they're in the ones and twos. Sometimes you don't feel them.
Right.
But that is part of a preliminary fracturing. You know, like when you take a piece of cardboard or something like wood and you start to bend it and break it, and it starts to crackle a little bit, mm-hmm. and crease before it really breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's happening in the Salton Sea area where these microquakes are going on. There's literally hundreds of them going on before the big one happens.
Well, the Salton Sea is so polluted it needs a little change. I heard that Arizona underneath was all rock.
Well, if you go, here's the thing, if you dig deep down anywhere in the continental United States, even in Kansas, you're going to hit salt water, because there was a time when the whole planet was under the ocean.
Oh, really? There was no land?
No, there was a few areas of land here and there, but for the most part, the Earth was a water planet.
Okay, so, oh good, okay, here we go. What was the first living beings on the planet, microbes?
Well, yes and no, because the very, very first beings or intelligent life on this planet were amphibian beings.
Whales and dolphins?
Well, they came later, actually. You know, the dolphins are not from here.
I keep hearing that. They were implanted, or what is it?
They were brought here from elsewhere, and they're more intelligent than human beings. They have a larger brain-to-body capacity than human beings. So they are very, very intelligent. They have a highly developed language skill.
I've always wanted to swim next to a dolphin because their sonar heals you or something.
Well, I did that last month.
You did?
Yes.
Where?
In Belize.
And then what happened?
Oh, it was so much fun. I took two of my children there, and Janet went, and we swam with them in this private lagoon. And it was really a lot of fun. But you know what? The weird thing was I knew more about them than the trainers.
What happened? I mean, did you communicate with them?
Oh, yeah. We called
them.
What did they say? Well, my son Zachary is being cured of diabetes, you know, type 1 juvenile diabetes, which I wrote about on my website. We went to the dolphins, and he said he got a message from the dolphin that said, if you are happy and make yourself happy and stop worrying, you'll be healed. Now, the interesting thing about that is that the mind pattern of diabetes is feeling tremendously unhappy in life, or feeling that there is no joy in life. And that's what makes the diabetes develop from a mental perspective. You know, from a physical perspective, there's evidence that shows that inoculations in childhood create the diabetic condition.
I believe that.
And then the corn syrup that they put in all the foods block insulin production.
Well, your son was probably eating the wrong diet then, right?
Well, we were pretty good with him. We've traced it to the inoculations, and we've been doing mud packs on his inoculation sites. The bottom line is, the last 5 weeks, he's needed no insulin.
Oh.
He's been normal.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, and in fact, he's going to be on that TV show, The Incurables.
Really?
Yep.
What TV show?
Well, one of my friends is one of the producers of this show. And it is called The Incurables. It's a 30-minute show about people who were told they'll never be cured of their illness, but then found a way to cure it.
I love this.
Yeah. So
let's
he's
go
gonna
back.
Be on
let's
that.
Go back to what the dolphins were telling you.
Yeah. Well,
are there any messages from the dolphins?
Yeah, but you know, you don't have to be with them to get the messages. If you do the dolphin frequency work, I have that in my book called A Healer's Handbook. There are a whole bunch of dolphin frequency symbols that you can use, and anyone can communicate with them anywhere. And it's fascinating.
Is there anything in particular that they said that you want to share with anyone?
Well,
there's
a big concern about the changes that are happening in the Gulf of Mexico, particularly, because there are fault lines under the Gulf of Mexico, which we're told that it's seismic free, But in the last year, there's been three huge earthquakes in the Gulf of Mexico.
Now, tell everybody where the Gulf of Mexico is located.
Oh, well, it's that area of water between Florida, Texas, and Louisiana.
Yeah, right there in that U or something.
Yeah, it's like a big, it looks like a tremendous bay.
Okay,
but
right.
it's a big Gulf of Mexico,
oh.
Salt water. It's very warm water, and there's a lot of oil rigs in there. And in fact, the very first oil rigs were put up in the Gulf of Mexico by Zapata Oil Company, where George Bush Sr. was the CEO of that in the 1950s, and that was used to transport narcotics from South America into North America.
Oh, yes, I did hear the truth about the government allowing narcotics into
mm-hmm.
our country.
Yeah, well, he was in charge of that.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so hard to believe this stuff? It's just so, I believe in the good of everything, and it just kills me. That
well, you know,
so greedy.
People are capable of anything.
Now, so the dolphins cleared out of San Diego. They're not around here.
We
have a lot of dolphins off our Pacific beach, a lot of them.
You know, I think I mentioned last week that I have a client who's a fisherman in California.
Yes.
San Diego, and he claims that there's no fish in the Pacific there, that they have to go all the way down to Mexico to find the fish. So and you may have already read this, that from really Baja all the way up to British Columbia, the ocean temperature has gone up between 5 and 7 degrees Fahrenheit. The plankton is dead. The sea life is gone or dying, and the birds are dying.
Is this from underground volcanoes?
Well, it's because lava or magma coming up is heating up the under the ocean, and it's killing everything. You know, it releases toxic gas.
Okay, so there is global warming due to the Earth's natural heating of itself. The
volcano. Well, you see, I don't think it's global warming. I think that it's just a cycle that the Earth is going through right now, and I think it's actually going to a more normal period. Because we're seeing actually colder temperatures. Like I mentioned, it's snowing in Saudi Arabia.
That's never happened before?
No. Oh. And how about Baghdad? In no one's memory can they ever remember that happening. It's not even recorded anywhere
that
in their history.
That is a fact, and that's the truth, and that the Earth has shift access maybe a little, so it's colder where it's not normally colder?
You know, a lot of it also has to do with weather manipulation, which they do through HAARP project.
I've heard of that, too.
You know, and so they fool around with the atmospheric, especially the ionosphere, which they are trying to electrify and change with the chemtrails. And, of course, that's going to affect the weather in various locations.
Why are they doing that?
Well, they're making the ionosphere into a network of radio signals and fiber optics so that they can then very easily punch in coordinates to an area and then transmit whatever they want to a particular area.
Okay, so these chemtrails lay some kind of chemical in the air where they
yes.
can use a chemical to bounce signals off of?
Yes, and some people may have read about or even seen these little filaments that fall to the ground sometimes.
Yes.
And they're calling them angel hair or whatever.
I could smell it in the air when they're doing it, and I just go indoors.
Yeah, and it's very dangerous.
It smells kind of tinty out there,
mm-hmm.
so I just go inside the house, and that
yes.
happens a lot.
And that
right overhead.
And the Morgellons disease, you know, that skin disease that people are getting, that's coming from the chemtrails.
Uh-huh.
That's bacteria, that re-engineered viruses that you inhale, gets in your skin, and it's causing people all kinds of problems.
I mean, I just heard, one of the original reasons for the chemtrails was so it can coat people's lungs and they can reintroduce the pandemic to eliminate population. I mean, that's another theory I heard.
Yeah. See, I don't really believe in that theory of a population reduction like that because they did not spend so much time and effort creating this gigantic slave race to then kill them out.
Mm-hmm.
That would not make sense. I think that there are certain groups that they're trying to eliminate.
Okay, so basically we're all going to be slaves to people we put in office.
Well,
there's got to be all these secret governments going on.
Well, that's just it. You don't put anyone in office. They put themselves in there.
Yep.
But voting is a joke. It really is.
I don't trust the voting either.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week,
yeah.
too, that I believe probably Hillary's going to win because, you know, they want her to win, right?
I think it's going to be Hillary Obama.
With Obama, why both?
Well, because then they get the minority and the women,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they get everyone to support them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least in
so
public.
Sad.
Yeah.
And all we can do, we have to be concerned about our own little world, so, because, but it's very hard. People are having a hard time. Well, this is what they're saying on the news.
Mm-hmm.
People are having a hard time making ends meet.
Well, yeah, but you know what's very big on the news the last couple of days is that UFO in Texas. Have you read about that?
Someone emailed me the story.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot more of these stories on conventional media, and even people who are respected, for example, in that area, the police chief saw it, and a respected businessman saw that. People videotaped it. There was a video on CNN with the UFO. I told people a couple of years ago this was going to happen because what they're doing is imprinting and getting ready for the staged alien invasion.
And the Texas sighting is part of that.
Yes, it is, because, you know, in the past, every time they'd have a UFO story, it would always end with, like, ha, 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 what a joke, you know, the guy's a loon. Now, it's like, wow, what is that? It's very interesting and weird. The police are seeing it, you know, professional people are reporting it.
So they're letting it leak out in a controlled manner.
Right, exactly.
Now, what about, I have a guest on James Gilliland, where he's up in Trout Lake, Washington,
mm-hmm.
and he's for years and years and years, the real deal, you know, the real UFOs fly, you know, in his area, and he's got it on tapes, and he's been visited, and this and that. So there are the real deal, too, out there, aside from what the government's doing.
Well, you know, Janet used to live up there. Too.
Oh.
She had cattle ranch up there.
Really?
Yeah, cause she's from Seattle, but she used to live in Moses Lake and Othello in central Washington. And she said she used to see she said they were these Air Force jets that would fly, you know, just a few yards off the ground and scare the cattle and the people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be chasing these objects, and objects were seen going in and out of lakes and rivers. You know, so that's a big UFO spot up there.
And then we've been mentally conditioned to accept UFOs because of all the TV and the movies.
Right, right. And they're
okay. So there's going to be a staged UFO invasion, right? Like kind of like that War of the Worlds.
Very much like that. And what we see in the sky will be the result of what I mentioned before is the Blue Beam Project, where they project the holographic images into the atmosphere. So that you think that there's something there.
And then the purpose of this is going to be one world government.
Right, because then it consolidates the fear globally. Now everyone is being attacked from outside, and it forces a global government.
Now what's going to happen? Who's going to be the leader of the one world government?
Well, that's what they're fighting about now. That's what all the Illuminati families are fighting about. The Windsors, the Rothschilds, the Romanovs, they're all fighting about who's going to be on top. Now, the Rothschild family has been in charge for about 800 years, and the Windsors want to depose them and take their position.
Are they the ones that control the IRS?
Well, the IRS, as you know, is a special or illegal organization.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by George Bush's grandfather and a couple of other people as a Delaware corporation, by the way. And it was originally created to raise money to support the Nazi Party in Germany. And they raised money and sent the money to Germany. And that's documented.
I also heard one of our drug companies, I forgot which one, Lilly or something, they were from the Germans, and
mm-hmm.
they control a lot of our pharmaceutical.
Oh, yeah.
Pharmaceutical is the biggest joke I've ever seen on the planet because of the commercials they play.
Right.
And all the side effects. And they
mm-hmm.
go to a pharmacy and people are lined up a block long to get their drugs. And
right.
It's just
right.
so sad.
The side effects are worse than any disease that you have.
Now, this one world government, they're trying to get the dollar bill to combine for Canada and Mexico to be
right.
the same dollar.
You know.
And I think we're going to live to see all this stuff.
Oh, it's happening now. It's already happening.
This is so sad. Well, maybe not happen. I don't, you know, some of it might be good to have the $1 be the same. That might be good.
Well, it's going to be called the Amero. And you know, when I was in Central America, you know, Panama, their official currency is the U.S. dollar.
You're kidding.
No. It's accepted everywhere in Central America.
Well, they don't accept it in India anymore.
Well, Asia likes the euro.
Okay.
And, in fact, China is asking for all of its loans to be paid in euros instead of dollars.
Oh.
And that is also what's causing the value of the U.S. dollar to go down, because all these other countries are dumping their reserves and their loans, and they want to convert.
By the way, what was that big deal about? I mean, I know products made in China are substandard a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Was there some kind of behind the scenes about revealing all the lead and all the products they make, the substandard products that they ship over here? Or is that somebody trying to, I mean, what was that, what's that all about?
You know, that, if you look at what's really going on, the war between the families, if you look at things on the earth as, instead of political, as family feuding between families, you can see that that was Rothschild sabotage of the North American Union. Because what's happening is when they unite Canada, U.S., and Mexico, they're building that NAFTA highway from Mexico right through to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kansas City, they're building a station to warehouse Mexican goods. That's why they are allowing Mexican trucks now into the U.S.
I bought a shirt that was made in Guatemala, and I think I bought it from Target.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's
and, you know, I'd rather have stuff made in Mexico than China any day. Their quality seems to be a lot better.
Well, I'll tell you, in Panama, the Panama Canal is now owned by the Chinese government.
Oops.
If you use the bathrooms down there, the signs are in Chinese. And they are building huge ports in Central America, Mexico, to handle large Chinese vessels with the military and economic goods that are coming in to be shipped into the U.S. And that is a fact you can go see for yourself.
Well, I mean, trade is all good, but it's got to be balanced.
Well, that's just that there is no balance at
all. We don't.
All.
I mean, hardly anything's made in the USA. I never see anything made in the USA. Maybe I can say never, but you rarely see it.
Well, chemtrails
really
are made
pathetic.
In the USA.
What?
Chemtrails are made in the USA.
Yeah.
Proudly made.
Made. You were made in the USA, Stuart.
Well, that's what we think.
Contrived.
I think
do
I
you have
part
any,
helper.
Is there any upcoming predictions? We talked about last time. Predictions are so much fun because, you know, I don't like to do what if
uh-huh.
scenarios, but only like what is, but yeah. Predictions are, it's too much fun to, like, and then see if they come to pass.
Oh, but, you know, yeah, it's interesting you said that, because remember last time I said about going to war with Iran? And then a couple of days after I said that on your show, President Bush was in Kuwait or
yep.
Dubai, and he said Iran was a threat to the world and everyone needs to join against them and eliminate
yep.
them.
You're right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So it's all begun.
Do you know, do you have any hint on San Diego earthquake time period?
I know that you're concerned about that. Quite honestly, it could happen at any time.
Okay.
Because the subduction zone, especially in the L.A. basin, is really, really stressed.
Okay.
And the southern
all
part...
All the idiots that live there, that's why it's so stressed.
Well, yes, you know. That's why I don't work out of there anymore.
Oh, L.A. is just a soup.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. But you know what? I tell people there, they're like, oh, well, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, then it's too late.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm in a one-story house. I feel okay. I'm a little nervous. I'm looking at signs and
yeah.
around and just keeping my eye open and thinking, what would if all the electricity went out? What would I do?
Well, I, you know, use the protection techniques that you have in my books by keeping violet color around you and your home, and violet is the ultimate protection. And there's something in my books called Ultimate Protection Technique.
Okay.
Which, if you use it, you will stay in good shape.
And as we get, and I cannot believe the hour's already gone, but we might have 1 minute left. If you can give anybody a technique to use.
Yes, surround yourself, put yourself in a violet tetrahedron, and then put that in a violet octahedron, and keep that around you and everything you want to protect 24/7, and it will keep you in excellent protected shape. And you can find out more on my website, expansions.com.
Exactly, expansions.com. Stuart, do you want to come back next week?
I'll come back anytime you want me,
okay.
Sandy.
Let's keep it. I know I have a laundry list of guests that want to come on the show, but we've got a whole year, so let's.
Oh, the hell with them.
Yeah, let's just keep it going. So,
I'll be there.
Yeah, and then we'll put on the BBS webpage what our subject title will be.
Sure.
People can call in if they want.
And maybe next time people can call in with their dreams, and we can do dream analysis.
Yes, well, I'll put that up, and we'll go for that next week, too.
Okay,
well, thank you so much. Again, it's Stuart Swerdlow at expansions.com. This is Sandy C. Show. We're signing out. We'll talk to you next Thursday at the same time, same channel, BBS Radio. Thank you so much, Seth and Douglas, for doing all this wonderful work you do. Okay. Donald and everybody else at BBS. Okay, thanks, Stuart. Have a wonderful week.
You too.
Okay, talk to you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.